I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Unapologetically Black Podcast.
Understanding that your blackness is part of your greatness.
Blackness just comes from being me, and that's it.
Men are allowed to do whatever the fuck they want to do. They can be cheaters, they can be liars, but women are expected to be righteous.
So if you're someone who in a concert you're going to say the N-word, in my opinion, at home you're going to say it as well. In friendship, there's someone who deposits and there's someone who withdraws. You don't want to be the friend that's keep depositing and the person that keeps withdrawing.
Poor people don't have time for depression.
I'm so tired.
Abortions doesn't actually reduce abortion.
But actually, if my mental health is not okay, I can't help you in any capacity.
I mean, my entire life I've lived under the gaze of my parents.
Fuck that shit.
I have the sniffles, okay? Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Unapologetically Black Podcast. Shan is giving me grief because I'm sick today.
She's lucky we're not in the studio at the same time because we would have had to have cancelled the recording.
Don't worry. I don't think I'm contagious anymore. I think I just have really bad sinus issues.
Mm-hmm. That's what they all say. Don't worry. My dog doesn't bite and then the dog bites off your leg.
How are you doing in general?
I'm okay. I feel like last week, as in literally the last 7 days, were a bit testing. That's a story for after the pod. But today was my breakthrough day. I'm feeling much lighter. I got the clarity that I needed. And, you know, I'm a firm believer of everything happens for a reason. And actually, do you know what? What I want to talk about quickly, it's not a rant, but it's a rant, is I saw a tweet the other day and this girl said, I did that prayer, guys. I did the prayer. And as soon as I saw that tweet, I knew exactly what that meant. And loads of people were talking about it, commenting underneath the tweet, and they all happened to know what they meant, what she meant. And I thought, wow, do you know what she means?
Sierra's prayer?
No. So the prayer, that's what some people said. But there's a prayer that you do, yeah, or some people do, and I do this often. And it's basically where, this is not necessarily how I say it, but it's a variation of saying to God, like, reveal the people that are around me and get rid of them with immediate effect. Okay? No. And I have my variations of the way that I tap into that prayer. I like to do it when I'm, like, questioning certain people around me and their intentions, or I like to do it if I'm, like, dating and I'm not really sure. If I'm dating and I'm really becoming invested in the person or really like them, then I always think that's a good time to, you know, call on God for his guidance, because, you know, the Bible tells you that God should be in the center of your union.
Always.
And so that's basically what the prayer was. And I did my variation of that prayer last week, and God said, I will show you in a matter of minutes. And I just wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared for that. And I just feel like it was a reminder that every time I do that prayer, God always delivers. He always comes through. And I just think, you know, that prayer is one of the most powerful prayers you can do in the world. I just wanted a moment for the prayer because it changes lives. It does.
I've never heard of that prayer, and I'm going to do it as soon as we finish recording.
No. Like... I must let you know. that to do that prayer, you need to be emotionally equipped for what might happen. Okay. It is scary. The results are instant. Sometimes they're not instant. It's not always been instant for me. Sometimes it's been even years or months. But there's been a few times where I've been like, God, I need to know now. Like, and you know, you shouldn't really tell God when you need to know. It's not always on your terms. But when I've prayed and I've genuinely got the clarity that I needed, and I just feel like whenever I do that prayer, I always got to do a deep breath and just be like, I'm ready. I'm ready. Because it's a lot. But yeah, that wasn't my rant. That was my... I don't know what that was.
Celebrating the prayer.
Yeah,
that was celebrating the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to do a very random segue into our fun fact, which hopefully will uplift the moment. I didn't know this before, but Black women are living longer than ever before.
Oh, we love this. Come and see Long Life Milk.
In 1960, the life expectancy for a Black woman was 68, and now it is 78.
Wow, look at us. Imagine being 78 on the podcast. Hello, welcome to the group. We ain't got no teeth, but we're here.
We will have fabulous teeth. They won't Thank be you. Ours.
Because I will get veneers. Yeah.
Of course. That goes without saying. I'm going to look 50. At 78, okay.
Let them know. I was on Twitter the other day, just scrolling, and I saw a tweet that said, just read that women are more prone to autoimmune diseases because of suppressed anger. So lean into the madness today, girlies. It's good for your health. And I thought, is this real? And I Googled it, and this is real. So I just thought it was an interesting conversation because, you know, as Black women, we don't like to always show anger even when we're in positions or circumstances that you, typically the average person would say it would make sense for them to be angry. But actually us not doing that is putting us at risk of autoimmune diseases.
100%.
How do you feel about that?
So, I mean, I completely agree. And it's interesting because you're right. We are always afraid of this like angry Black woman stereotype. And it's so true. But when I started to read about the impact that it has, as you said, autoimmune diseases, apparently it puts us through a weathering process, which accelerates our aging and increases our vulnerability because of this toxic stress, because we're in this constant like fight or flight mode. We're constantly trying to put ourselves into a coping mechanism. We're in survival mode all the time. And that shit will make you crazy or age you or put your health at serious risk. And it's funny, I thought to myself, when was that last time that I actually expressed that I was angry about something? Like, and it was really hard for me to, when was the last time you thought about you were actually angry at someone and expressed it?
I don't think anger is an emotion that I express or that I experience often. And as I say that, I'm wondering if maybe it just shows up in a different way. I think when I get angry, I just shut down.
Mm.
And so because of that, it then merges into me feeling sad. So I'm not sure if I can think of an example of where I can be like, I was angry at that moment.
But do you feel like when you shut down, do you notice that it has like a physical impact on your body? Like, do you clench your teeth? Do you feel anxiety? Do you feel...
Yeah, I definitely feel anxiety. I definitely feel anxiety. Or I just feel like numb. It's one of the two. I either feel anxious or I feel numb.
So interesting, because I think the last time that I remember expressing or having an outlet of anger, which probably was not, that was healthy. Let me say that, because I grew up with quite a bad tempo. Mm-hmm. Everybody in my family has a bad tempo that we've had to like subdue. I went to Bali, and I think I told you this, that I went to this temple. It was like a water temple built into the mountains. And there's this part of the temple, the process that you go through, where you go and stand up in front of a waterfall and you scream as loudly as you can. And it dawned on me that I was like, I've never screamed before. Like, when was the last time you just screamed out loud for no apparent reason and just let go of whatever tension in your body. I haven't.
If I'm frustrated or I've had a long day, I'll come home and just be like, and just scream. I actually scream quite a lot. I do. I go through phases of where I wake up and I just scream. Like the first thing I do is just, I don't mean scream like, I just mean like, and then I'll just go quiet again. And I feel like I'm letting something out. Like I feel lighter.
I was just about to ask you how you feel when you do that, because apparently anger is a really positive emotion to have. Like it helps us to cope with stress. It discharges tension in our body. It helps to calm our nerves, and it actually motivates us to do something about whatever it is, the issue that we're having. But when we numb ourselves to things, we often just stay with the status quo. Yeah. So how do you feel when you scream?
I guess the example I just gave, when I'm screaming and it's like first thing in the morning, I'm definitely not angry. It's more just like a release of an emotion. I think I scream more when I'm frustrated. And I think it's just little things that I do that make me feel a tiny bit lighter. In the same way that for somebody else, they may have a glass of wine and they feel like, that's how I feel when I scream. I don't really use like alcohol as, I love alcohol. I love to drink. I love a cocktail, but I don't drink unless I'm like at a party. I don't drink if I'm at a dinner. I don't drink if I'm, do you know what I mean? You've been with me enough times to know that, like, I just don't drink in that way. But I think in the same way that someone would drink after a long week of work, that's the same way that I'm going to either scream or cry. I'm a crier. This is what it is. It's because I'm a crier. Me, I will shed tears. I will cry. Yesterday, yesterday, I felt really violated. And I felt violated because of my own narrative that I had created, okay? And in feeling violated, I was like, I'm not going to cry. Maybe that's when I last felt angry. But I feel like I cast it before it hits the anger. Because it was like I felt away, like I felt violated. And then I just went for a walk. So I guess before I'm allowed to actually bubble up to anger, I've capped it because I've gone for a walk.
So you try to find healthy ways to channel the feelings of anger that you might have.
Yeah, I don't think, I'm just wondering if I need to see a therapist. Like, how do I show?
No, it sounds like you're being really healthy. I mean, I think I have, relative to that, I actually have a very poor way of handling anger, because oftentimes I'll silence my own anger or try to talk myself out of it instead of actually allowing myself to experience the emotion.
So can you give me an example? Because maybe that's what I'm doing. Even if it's not a direct example to you, but just like an example of what that looks like practically.
Well, it's like if somebody, and this is a very bad example, but if somebody bumps into me, for instance, for some reason, whenever I go to a club, I'm always standing in the wrong place and someone's always walking into me, and it annoys me to no fucking end. Like I really, really get annoyed. But instead of, expressing that anger to the person that's bumping into me, and sometimes people need to know, like sometimes people need to like stop being obnoxious, I will often just get annoyed and murmur to myself and then talk myself out of being the aggressor because I don't want to start a fight in the middle of the club.
Oh, okay.
Or
whereas I would definitely say something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
If it's like someone's walking past and they've accidentally knocked me, those don't impact me. But if it's like we're dancing in a space and you're actually not aware, you have no level of social awareness and you keep continuously knocking me, and you're knocking me to at a level where I know you can feel yourself hitting my body, I'm going to tap you and just say, excuse me, would you mind just stop? Or like just shifting a bit that way, because you just keep hitting me. It's like girls with long hair or long weaves or wigs or braids
that love to flip their hair,
and they're
hair.
Flicking their hair, and I just said, excuse me, would you mind just going to the bathroom just to restyle, because you doing it here is actually impacting my experience. Like what's going on? It's too much.
And I think I'm glad that my girlfriends know me, because they'll often step in those instances. But yeah, I definitely struggle with expressing emotion in a healthy way, because there's obviously bad ways, like giving somebody the silent treatment is not necessary, is kind of toxic behavior, especially if you do it repeatedly. And I'm great at ignoring people, like really good at it. Although I hate being ignored. So I think there are healthy ways. Well, you hate it as well. And it's funny because the younger that, I don't know if you feel, did you feel like you expressed your anger when you were younger as well? Because apparently younger women report a greater tendency to express and suppress intense angry feelings rather than expressing them physically or verbally. So do you feel like when you were younger, you were shyer about it? And then you got, as you got older?
I feel like when I was younger, I was more angry. I feel like I demonstrated anger. And you know what's really weird is that I always find it weird to be like, this is because of what I watched on TV. But I do actually think that what I was watching impacted that, because I used to absolutely love Tracy Beaker, yeah? And I don't know if you're familiar with Tracy Beaker, like the character. Mm-hmm. So she's a character from a Jacqueline Wilson book that got made into a TV program. And she was basically a girl that was in care and in a foster care home. And she would have like random outbursts, and she would like run down the stairs and throw all the clothes out of the washing and all of these sorts of things. And I would just copy her. I would literally do exactly what Tracy Beaker did, because I really wanted to be like her. But there's definitely a few instances I can think of where I was angry or I showed anger. But I think looking back, I probably was acting out because of changes in family dynamics at the time, or just going through certain things, moving houses and having to adapt to like going from like a multicultural school to a very white school. So not to like excuse it, but I think it kind of makes sense where that came from. But I don't know where the shift came from for me needing to like feel like I have to shut it down. And yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Because even as I say it to you and I'm like, oh, I don't really think I show anger, I'm like, surely I must. Like, do you get what I mean? Like, not to make this very deep, yeah, but I'm like, surely I must experience it. But for some reason, I'm not allowing myself to show that emotion. I don't know why.
Do you think that you are consciously aware of how society will view you? Like, does that angry black woman syndrome have an impact on how you behave in public settings as well? Or do you think, just fuck it, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do?
So if I'm outside my home, and like, let's say the example I gave before about someone keep knocking me or something like that, I think I'm very aware of how I'm going to show up, because I know that typically wherever we are, the authorities aren't going to look like me. And so I know that naturally, just because of unconscious bias, it's going to be, the odds are going to be stacked against me. And I think I'm very, very, very aware of that. So I think it's not to say that I like maneuver differently than how I would be if I was in a black space or if I was in Jamaica or something like that. I think I ultimately still maneuver myself in the same way. But I am very aware that if I was to think about the consequences of the actions that could take place now, it's probably going to be to my detriment. And I try to keep that in mind when I'm like making certain decisions. And also, I think, you know, when you get older, your morals change, your patience changes, your understanding of the world changes. And I think there's just certain things that aren't really going to bother me anymore now that maybe did when I was like 18, and things that aren't going to let bother me now that maybe did when I was like 22. And I think I've had to really try to find a way to like just operate life a bit more softer, because I think the way the world is set up as black women, we're kind of forced to always have a guard. Like, we have a guard in dating, we have a guard in friendships, we have a guard at work, we have a guard when we're outside. It's exhausting. And actually, like, I don't want to live life like that all the time where I can. And part of that is allowing myself to, I guess, experience different emotions, but just be in control of how I'm going to express it.
Mm. It's funny, when I was younger, I think I expressed my anger all the time. Like, when, especially between the ages of like 18 and 25, I used to get in fights all the time. Someone called the police on me. I spat on a girl once.
Spat!
Or I almost spat on her. I didn't actually spit on her, but I spat in her direction. This is very embarrassing now that I think about it.
Leanne.
And I was angry. I was an angry young adult.
What was you angry at?
I mean, the specific examples of why I spat at someone.
No, like, do you think this was bigger than the trigger in the moment of time? To spit? What?
I also, yeah, I mean, I think I was really angry at my dad at the time, and, you know, the various things that were going on in our family. I genuinely think that genetically I have inherited a bad temper. Like, it is something that is consistently true across our family. My mom's tempo was manic and she's known for it. My dad was incredibly calm. He was the opposite. But my brother and sister both have a very like, and myself, I would say, have worked ourselves out of our tempos.
But that, I was going to say that makes like, sense because I could never, if someone said, oh, is Leanne angry? I'd be like, no. Leanne's so calm and relaxed all the time.
But I used to be very angry all the time to the extent of feeling entitled that I could, you know, cause harm to somebody else, men and women. So this is not just...
What was the shift for you?
That's a good question. I think therapy, actually. And I don't think I even addressed my temper in therapy, but I addressed some of, like, as I said, my parents were going through a big thing, separating. My mom was sick. She had just been diagnosed with kidney failure at the time. And so we were going through all these changes. And I basically picked myself up and went to therapy and encouraged everybody in my family to go as well, because I felt like we needed to go collectively. Not everybody came, but that's a separate story. And I really just found a safe space to express how I was feeling about the things that I didn't want to talk about publicly. So I think therapy actually was the shift. It's the only shift that I can think of.
Because I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and we had a really deep chat, like randomly. And, you know, sometimes your friends are talking and you kind of realize they're unraveling truth about themselves in the moment. So you just let them talk. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, I said to myself, I'm going to go back to this conversation with her at a later date and unpack it more. But when we were talking, she was talking about the fact that she tends to be quite rude or like quite abrupt or quite like abrasive. Yeah. And she was able to pinpoint when that started and why it started, and it was something that happened in her childhood. And it made me just think, if we healed that part of you that feels hurt by that wound, you probably wouldn't show up like that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because 100%. The need to have this guard or this way of being would no longer exist. And I feel like that's why I was asking you, why do you think you were showing up angry? Like, what was the issue? Because I think ultimately a lot of people that are angry or have a short fuse, there's something, there's a catalyst, there's an issue there. And sometimes it might be like they grew up in an environment where they wasn't allowed to express themselves. And now they've just got all these years of bottled up emotions that just wants to come out. So as soon as an emotion hits a heightened level, it comes out and explodes. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, I think anger so often, or the expression of anger is so often connected to fear or hurt. Like feeling hurt or feeling fearful of being hurt. And they say this about narcissists, right? Narcissists often engage in like moments of rage and anger and just like criticizing everybody and everything in front of them. But it's because they're so deeply insecure and they're so deeply fearful of being hurt themselves. At least that's part of it. And so I think when we hurt people because we're angry with them, and when we hit below the belt or engage in unhealthy behaviors associated with anger, it's really coming from a different place, as opposed to having a genuinely healthy expression of anger, which is really just a release of tension or frustration that you're feeling. I feel like you have demonstrated a very healthy approach to releasing anger, though. Is that conscious, or is that something that you think you've just developed over time?
What, with like crying?
Yeah.
I feel like it's something I need to think about more to understand where it comes from myself. But I know that I struggle with guilt a lot. And so if I was to act from a place of being angry, which would be a temporary emotion, and I was to act out, I'm probably then going to have guilt based on how I act. So therefore, rather than me acting on that emotion, I then just suppress it. Do you get what I mean? And I don't suppress it in a way that it's like, oh, I put it under the rug. I suppress it in terms of like, I trap it in a box and look in the box and understand what's going on in the box. And then I reopen the box. That's like the analogy to explain how I navigate anger. So it's more just like, so for example, yesterday, when I said I felt like violated, I went for a walk for 45 minutes. And when I came back from that walk, I had a clearer understanding of the way I felt about a situation and how I was going to approach that situation. Whereas if I acted on how I was feeling when I first left for that walk, it would have been crazy. It would have been crazy. But I literally went for a walk for about an hour. And when I came back, I said, cool, I'm going to have a drink of water and I'm going to go to bed. Because I knew that I came back and I didn't feel dramatically different. I just felt a bit different. There was a shift. And okay. I was like, let me just sleep this off. Like, let me just chill. And as I said, this morning, I'm feeling lighter. I'm feeling much better. There's obviously been other things that have contributed towards that. But I think it's important to sometimes, when we're feeling any emotion, whether it's anger, whether it's anxiety, whether it's happiness, I think it's important for us to really have an awareness of where this emotion is coming from and how we're going to maneuver it. It's like that there's that saying where it's like, don't make promises when you're happy and don't make decisions when you're mad or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of how, that's kind of like a morale or a rule that I have to approach in my own emotions. I try not to make decisions when I'm feeling hyper or a heightened version of any sort of emotion.
No, that makes sense. And that is a very healthy way to deal with anger. I guess there are some things for me that I am reactive to. Like if somebody calls me the N-word in the middle of the street or anything that's racist, I feel like that warrants and deserves anger as a response. And people need to see that anger in order to understand the impact that it has on people. But then, of course, we get trapped into the angry black woman stereotype anyway, and black men get trapped into that as well, like the violent black man, that's the stereotype that we have.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting because with situations like that, I don't think I would respond. I think obviously it's a violation, obviously it's an offense, obviously it shouldn't happen, it's literally a hate crime, yeah? Mm-hmm. But if someone wants to call me an N-word or something like that, I'd literally just think it's funny. Like, you're actually a dickhead. Like, that. I think I respond with sarcasm in those situations. Like, like you're so silly. You're pathetic. Like, for you to think you're going to impact me. Do you know what it is? I think this is what it is, yeah? When we respond to something with anger, we've allowed someone to control us. And I'm so big on not being controlled by other people and always being in control of my body and my mind, that I think that's why I don't tap into anger. Because for me, it feels like I'm giving someone control over my body and, like, my mind. I think that's what it's to do with. Because the idea of someone, the amount of times I'll talk to, this is why I think I'm the worst person to argue with, because I'm not arguing back. You'll be shouting, and I'll be talking to you like this. And I'm not talking to you like this because I'm trying to wind you up. I'm talking to you like this because I'm genuinely not mad. And I'm genuinely not going to get angry. And at the moment that I would feel angry, I would rather just not have a conversation with you.
I definitely have learned this recently in couples counseling, is that you can't argue with yourself for too long. So, and Barry doesn't listen to this, so I can say it. But like, yeah, every time, not every time, but more often than not, when Barry gets annoyed about something, I'm just like, okay, honey, sure, no problem. Okay, honey. And it dies its own death. However, when somebody in the street calls me a bitch, the N-word, anything racist, you know, sexist, whatever, it just fills me. And you're right, it is a reaction that we have that someone else has pushed upon us. The rage in me cannot be, that's probably one of the few things and being ignored that I cannot help but to get angry about. Like, I haven't learned how to control that yet.
But do you not think, yeah, if a racist person is calling you the N-word, they want you to then act like the N-word, which is to be angry. So you're literally giving them the reaction they want from you.
But I also think that there's something to be said for, again, and this goes back to like healthy anger behavior or irrational anger behavior. So the last time somebody called, I remember the first time I ever went somewhere and someone called me a black bitch or something like that. I got into an argument with them. I got back and forth, blah, 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 blah. First person to ever call me a black bitch was actually a little person, which was also very strange, just the dynamic of like two people who come from marginalized groups going at each other. But the second time it happened, I got angry. I confronted the person, but then I also called the police. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think there's a healthy approach to anger that motivates you to do something that has consequences for the person that's causing you harm. Because whether or not we acknowledge it, that kind of verbal abuse is causing us harm or has the capacity to cause us harm.
Yeah.
And so that person should suffer consequences.
Because I literally remember checking into the Cosmopolitan in Vegas, going to the room with my best friend, and there was these white girls from the UK, like maybe 5 or 6 of them, and they literally looked at us and was like, black bitch, and then ran off. And they ran to the room next to us. I remember saying to my friend, like, I didn't feel comfortable having these people next to us in the room whilst we're going to stay here. And they look at us in this way. So I just went and complained. I literally just went downstairs and complained and got upgraded. But I feel like, I think sometimes as well, and obviously every situation is different and I'm not always necessarily going to respond in the same way. But I think, so let me give this example. I was in school once, and I can't remember why I'd got told off, and I was sitting outside the room, and there was a guy in the older year group, and he came up to me and he said to me, he started talking to me about consequences. And he was like, if someone walks down the hallway now and slaps you in your face, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I'm going to box them back. And he's like, no, because what if you box them back and then when you leave school, their older sibling or gang is outside waiting for you and stabs you and kills you? Is it worth that box? And he was like, you need to understand the importance of consequences. And since that day, I've always tried to consider that. So in my head, when people are saying things like black bitch, the N-word and this stuff, obviously you got to know the battles that you're fighting. But sometimes I'm like, I don't know what mad friend of yours is around the corner that is really about this life and hates black people and will stab me because I'm trying to defend myself over something that it's just a poor reflection of your own character. Like I always say, how someone acts is a reflection of their character, and how you choose to respond is a reflection of yours. And I just think that, like, I think, you know, with the anger, the emotion of anger or the emotion of sadness or whatever, where we have free reign and we should feel comfortable in showing it in whatever space, especially when we are the ones being victimized or being, you know, impacted in a negative way. But I think it's just like, are you going to be happy with how you act at the end?
I take that, and it's a very mature response to have. But I also feel like it's a burden that we have to face as women and as black people. Like, as a woman, I have to consider my safety in how I respond to somebody harming me, whether verbally or physically. Like, if somebody boxes me and I box them back, I have to consider that my safety might be at risk. I guess I wonder if white people have to think about those things. Like, I think it's a burden that we face because we are already discriminated against and subjugated within society. Like, how many white people, or and white men more specifically, walk around every day thinking and giving consideration to the consequences that they have? That white person that called me the N-word didn't have to think about the consequences of his action, because it's hate speech. It's illegal. You actually are not allowed to do that without getting arrested. But how many white men actually get arrested for hate speech? Or how many white men actually get arrested for smoking weed versus black men?
And or black get women? Arrested and then actually get charged.
Yeah, and then actually get charged. Like, on some level, I want us to have the freedom to be petty as fuck when we're hurt. Not all the time, because obviously we have to be mature and we don't want to go around harming each other. But I want us to be able to be angry at shit that's supposed to make us angry. Like, there was, I don't remember who it was, but there was a newscaster who, one of the commentators said something racist as fuck. And she was just like, no, not today. Like, I'm going to tell you about your business. Because even though she was on camera, this guy needed to be put in check, and she didn't have to. She had to weigh up in that moment, potentially keeping her job, with telling somebody how it is. And that's consistently a negotiation for us.
But you see, like, in that example, I don't think that's being angry though. If she was to get up and be shouting, how dare you call me this? My thing is, is that, like, when we want to respond to something like that, we have to be really conscious of what way is going to be conducive or progressive to the cause. Yeah. So the moment that, and it's not for me, it's actually not about, I'm not responding in an angry way because I don't want to be associated with the angry black woman stereotype. Like, fuck the stereotypes. It's more just like in that dynamic, if she was to get up and start shouting, the news headlines the next day would not be man was racist to woman on X and X show. It would be black woman lashes out at white man. The framing would change.
But do you see how forward thinking we have to be? But when a white man gets up and says, Diane Abbott makes me feel like I hate all black women, he wasn't thinking about those consequences. Yeah, he wasn't thinking about the fact that, because he didn't need to. He knows that as a white man, he has the privilege to be able to explain away whatever it is that he said. And let's be clear, there's nothing that's not racist about the fact
about
that he said
that.
Like, but somehow the media and his white colleagues and allies have basically said he's not racist. He does work in the Caribbean and he works with black people all the time. And by and large, I don't see anybody coming to Diane Abbott's support. But she has to be calm. She has to be. And think about, like, this is not the first time, right? This is like the 50 millionth time that someone's called her a bitch. Somebody's told her that they hate her because of the color of her skin, the death threats. And she has to be resilient and firm without being, she can't cry because then she's going to look like a pussy, sorry, or weak. She can't be angry because then she's going to be the angry black woman stereotype and no one will listen to her anyway. So she just has to hold it. And like, how much of that can one person bear? Like, yeah, I just want that freedom for us. Not to say that that's how we'll act, but we should have the choice to do it.
I think it's finding that balance, because even as I'm talking to you, as we started this conversation, I said, like, I don't know where it comes from. Maybe if I was to go to therapy, I would find as an example of where I acted angry and it backfired. And that's maybe why I felt like I had to maneuver things differently. But I definitely think there's a balance that has to
be
had.
For sure. I think it's good. I think you're right. I think every situation is different. And I think there are some really healthy ways that you've talked about that actually help us to preserve ourselves rather than reacting to every single thing.
Because, you know, like, I'm an empath, yeah? So I feel emotions very deeply. You see, when I show that display the emotion of anger, I'll be drained for weeks. And I'm not even exaggerating. I'll be drained for like a good 7 days. So I think for myself, maybe I live in a bubble of like constantly trying to protect myself, constantly trying to live in a world of peace, that I do certain things because I know how it's going to impact me based on how my body and how my brain naturally functions. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for example, when I said to you, when I cry when I get angry, it's because when I cry, I automatically feel lighter. When I said to you that when I'm frustrated, I scream, because when I scream, I automatically feel lighter. When I get angry and show the emotion of anger, I don't feel lighter. I feel worse. It feels heightened. It feels more intense. So for me, it doesn't make sense. It's not conducive to me trying to get rid of the frustration that I'm having to then act on it in an angry way, because I feel like shit after. And then knowing me, I would do something, and I know my mouth is very slick, yeah? So I would do something, and then I'm gonna...
Feel bad about it.
Feel bad. Because actually, When I've been angry, because I'm thinking of a time when I was angry now, last year, May, it was a mixture of anger, feeling angry, feeling let down, and I guess feeling violated again. This is a family member. And when we had this conversation, we were having a conversation via WhatsApp. And in that conversation, once I clocked the violation, I just blocked them. I've never spoken to them since. Because I was like, I'm not going to allow you to have this control over me. So I said, okay. I said my little piece to say, and I blocked them. But you see, before, what I used to do, I would have responded with vim. And then I would have been made to be the victim of, not the victim, but to be the bully of, oh, look how she spoke to this aggressive person. Look what she said. And even if what I said was true or was factual or was right, no one would be focused on that. Everyone's going to focus on, look what they said. Because you know when you're younger, I don't know if you got told this, but I was always told, like, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Oh, 100%.
And I feel like that rings true to my approach to anger. It's not how you, it's not what you feel, it's how you show it. Because I show it.
It's interesting.
This is a different way. Because then you can't use it against me. Because little Miss Betty Boo is still blocked. And now everyone's like, oh, you know, maybe we should sort things out. Maybe you guys should read the chat. Maybe.
I've definitely taken that approach in some instances, but there are others where I just let her rip. I just have to. But I think there are healthy ways of dealing with it. I think the screaming thing is actually a really good idea. Obviously, journaling, I think, historically has helped all of us to process emotions generally, and maybe anger is one of those. Somebody else, my girlfriend, actually, she always goes to a dance session, and she actually teaches dance as well, whenever she's angry or goes to the gym. And actually, I have to say, whenever I'm on the verge of tears and angry, I happen to go to the gym.
You have the workout of all workouts.
You feel so good.
The workout of all workouts. That's why yesterday I went for the walk, Leanne. That's why I went for the walk.
For 45 minutes.
For 45 minutes. And it would have been longer. Yeah. The only reason why it was even cut at 45 was because it was getting dark. And, you know, black women and safety outside. Yeah. Other than that, it would have been much longer. And, you know, like with... Do you know why something as I'm talking to you about, like, healthy ways of expressing anger? For me, it's actually just talking. Because when I walked yesterday, I told the story twice. To two different people.
You vented.
So I think, you know, we're going full circle here, but I think for me, the way I express anger healthily, and I've only identified it in this conversation, is venting heavily, going for walks heavily, and crying heavily. With the occasional scream.
Well, hopefully people who are listening can share healthy ways of expressing anger, because I need some help.
Well, no, but you definitely, I don't think I even believe your comment before about you nearly spat at someone. I don't think I even believe
it. I did. You want to know why I nearly spat at her?
Was it to do with a man? Oh gosh, what was the reason?
I was at a football game watching my boo at the time, who was cheating on me. And this girl was in the stands and she was cheering too loudly for him.
Was she the cheaty?
Maybe. I don't know. Anything is possible. Okay. But I just felt like she was cheering too loudly.
Okay. And then you didn't. And then what happened?
I spat at her. It didn't land on her.
Was there dialogue before that, though? Was there dialogue before?
No. She was walking past, and I just spat in her direction.
I'm so happy I met the healed you. The you that was. Yes. Because, I mean,
that completely wild, and it's not funny. Bad.
Because for you to not even think about being like, you know, like, not trying to be rude to the version of you that existed at that time, but, you know,
no, be rude.
A rational thinker would be like, excuse me, would you mind stopping? And then at the point that you're ignored, that's when the anger ignites. Like, you can't even allow for the disrespect. Baby girl was just screaming. She's not aware of her decibels.
A rational thought would be she's just trying to cheer on her friend who is playing football. Like, there was nothing rational about wanting to spit in her direction. And when I did, she did nothing, which was very interesting. She, like, turned around, looked at me, I looked at her, and then she just walked off, and that was the end of it. And she left the game, so maybe I got what I wanted out of it, but yeah.
Well, guys, I can confirm I've known Leanne now for about 5 years, and I'm shocked by this story because this is really not the character that she displays now. So what we know to be true is that this is not how Leanne operates now, because she has gone to therapy, she's worked on her anger, and this is not how she would show up today.
Definitely not. I wouldn't even think to do that or think to be upset. I'm a healed individual, or I'm in the process of healing.
Yes. We're all allowed to be on our journey.
Yeah. I'm accountable for my shit. I was wrong. It was very fucked up. I think, you know, that feels like a good place to end. Don't do what Leanne did. Listen to Roshan. Express your anger in a healthy manner.
But do you know what's interesting, yeah, is that whenever I play games like who's most likely to do this or who's most likely to do that, everyone's always like, it's me. Who's most likely to get arrested? Me, first of all. Who's most likely to get into an argument? Me. I'm like, guys, in real life, it's not me. No, it's not.
I think maybe out of the people that you're surrounded by, it is. Between the two of us, it's definitely you.
It's a lie. Okay, maybe out of us two, it might be me. Ooh, you won there. But when my friends are saying it before, I'm like, what are you talking about? I literally had to go around the room like, do you remember when I defended you for this? Do you remember when I defended you for that? Like, you guys haven't got examples to me.
Fair. I can't think of a time where I've had to defend you because of your tempo.
I think people always assume that. I don't know what it is about me. People always assume I'm very, like, confrontational. But you see me, I find arguing very exhausting. I'll leave you to, I'll do what you said earlier on. Okay, honey. Okay, hon. I'll leave you to argue with yourself. Even the other day, I was talking to my brother on what's on iMessage, and he thought I was arguing with him. I had to send him a voice note of me laughing. And I was like, I find this hilarious, baby. This is a joke. I am joking. This is not an argument. And then I literally saw him later and I was like, did you think this was an argument? I was joking.
And he was dead serious.
He was like, no, you wasn't joking, because what would you say? Do, 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 do. And I was like, it's not that deep.
Hilarious.
But thank you guys. Until next time.
See you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Unapologetically Black podcast, brought to you by the Dope Black Women CIC.
If you like this episode, please tweet us, DM us, or even message us at Dope Black Women across all socials.
Unapologetically Black.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.